This is the Skate Foo Podcast, episode 39. Today we're talking about modding. Today we're talking about modding your aquarium stand. Let's go.
Welcome to the Skate Foo Podcast, where it's all about learning to make aquariums beautiful. And now, here are your hosts, Skate Foo founder and chief bottle washer, Art Pinom, your DIY homescaper, JJ, and our full-time aquascaper and smarty pants from Germany, Yuri's Mitt JS.
Hello, this is Art Pinom, and you're listening to the Skate Foo Podcast, the only podcast on the internet focused on making your aquarium beautiful. It's called Aquascaping, and we're on a mission to change the way you think about your aquarium. Like I said, I am your host. My name is Art, and today I am joined by Yudis. Yudis, how are you?
Hello, Art. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm glad we're able to record.
Yep.
JJ, we miss you, buddy, but we know you're working hard. So, modding your aquarium stand, that sounds geeky, techie. But I think it's important, no?
I do think so, because even sometimes the stand is bigger than the aquarium, so it should be nice as well.
Yeah, yeah. And typically, your aquarium is going to sit in a prominent location in your aquarium, in your house.
That's true.
And boy, you don't want it to look ugly.
Right? It definitely should match the environment, the furniture of the room it is placed in.
So I took some notes thinking about this. It is a pet peeve of mine. I have 7 points, I think, as to why you should consider your aquarium stand almost as seriously as you consider what's in your aquarium, the aquascape. Perhaps we should run through those and then speak to them, Yudis.
Okay.
And you can add yours as well.
Let me hear yours first.
let's do it. We are talking about making aquariums beautiful, but it'd be silly for us to just think we're talking about what's inside the four corners there. We have, I think, many of us have migrated, and it's become more popular to use the frameless all-glass aquarium now to make it nice and look like one piece of water there. I think it's probably more available in Europe and in Asia than it is in the United States still. But now we're even here, even in the United States, we're getting the frameless aquariums, topless aquariums, and we're hanging our lights and really taking a lot of pride in the way it looks from an aesthetic point of view, not just inside the aquascape, the hardscape, the plants, the fish. And I guess if you have it on top of a piece of furniture, you're good. But most of us end up buying an aquarium stand or cabinet. And that's where I think the industry has not kept up, at least in the United States. I know in Europe, you guys have ELOS, you have ADA, you probably have other companies I've not heard of.
Eheim. They have some very nice new models.
Exactly. So it's when you go to the local fish store, you go online in Europe or in Asia, it's easier for you to find a very nice looking stand. But I would argue even those stands need to be modified a little bit. But in the United States, what we have, UDs, are, for the most part, I don't want to speak in complete generalities, because I do know we can get a hold of commercially available nice stands. But for the most part, if you walk into your everyday local pet store, you're going to find these ugly, pine, unfinished stands. Okay? They're all the same. They're rectangles. They got those doors with the ugly hinges. They probably don't close and fit very well because they're mass produced. You likely will get a splinter on your hand if you pick it up or move it around. It's that, for the most part, guys, don't kill me, but I think for the most part, that's what we find. And that's to me, sad, because that stand will likely not look good in almost any living room, bedroom, etc., unless you do some serious work to it. So, looking at my statistics, our statistics here, as to who's listening to the Scape Foo podcast, it is about 75% male, 25% female. So, but in either case, to make your significant other, your spouse, approve your purchase of your aquarium and not give you a hard time, probably a good idea to make the stand look good and not ugly and make it fit with the decor wherever it's going to sit. So if it's in your living room, make it look good and tie into your living room furniture. If it's in your bedroom, same thing. If it's in the kitchen, same thing. So making it spouse approved, the cabinet, the stand, to me is very important to save you a lot of aggravation and probably to get you a yes as opposed to a big old no that's ugly. Yudis, any thoughts on that?
Well, it's I totally agree with everything you said. And for me, the aquarium stand or the cabinet is as important as the aquarium itself, because for me, aquascaping is like art, and the cabinet is like the frame or something like this. And you can have maybe the best painting or print, but if the frame doesn't match the painting or the print or doesn't match the environment, the room, so the whole piece of art will look wrong. So for this reason, for me, the cabinet is also very important.
I fully agree. Couldn't have said it better. Now, I know many of us are on budgets. Perhaps you're a student still. Heck, I was there. And when you're eating ramen noodles for dinner, it's kind of tough to invest in a commercially available nice cabinet. I know, and I'll try and link and find pictures too. I've been there too. The old concrete block stand is common, especially when you're on a budget. I get it. But even there, I would tell you that with a little bit of handy skills, do-it-yourself skills, you can put together a very good-looking stand or cabinet. Okay, it takes simply some 2x4s, which are very cheap at your local lumber store, hardware store, home improvement store, and then you wrap that those 2x4s with some paneling, which again is very cheap, and then a little paint, and you're much improved over the concrete block. So many do-it-yourself instructions on the internet. Just Google it, and you'll get it. So spouse approved. Number one for me, okay? Very important. Maybe because I have a wife, and that's important. Number two, if you focus on your stand and your cabinet to not only make it look good, but to make it functional, ease of use, you will be more likely to maintain what's in it. So, for example, cleaning and changing the filter out, realizing you're out of fertilizer before you really are out of fertilizer, or you're running out of fertilizer, being able to see the CO2 gauges to see how close you are to running out of CO2. I think, having been there as well, this is number two, a close second to number one, which is spouse approved. I don't know about you, Yudis. I know you're a professional, and you do things right from the beginning, but I am not a professional, and certainly in the past, I found a little time on a weekend, open up that cabinet, thinking about, am I going to change I should change the filter and, you know, squeeze out the foam pad, etc. But seeing that I have to get through a bunch of wires and tubes and cables and what a pain it's going to be to take that out, I will admit to everybody, I have in the past kind of closed the cabinet doors and said, you know what, I'll do it next week.
sounds familiar to me.
Yeah. I don't know about you, everybody else, but I admit it, standing up and making the admission there. So I learned long ago that if I spend a little bit of time thinking about placement of things inside of the cabinet, inside of the stand, and making it easy to access, then I will more likely be able to ward off my lazy streak and do the maintenance when I'm supposed to. Okay, so I mean having plenty of room, everything nice and organized in a way that will make it easy for me to take it out, put it back in. I have my fertilizers hanging on the door in a little shelf, even went as far as labeling each one. On the other side, I have a little rack for a towel. I have hanging my pincets and scissors and scrapers and everything else I'm going to need. I have my gauges easily viewable, easily accessible. Whenever my CO2 is, I can get to it easy to unscrew it and take the tank out and replace it. My top-off water reservoir is easy to get to. All I need to do is, as I finish filling the aquarium, I just open up the cabinet, put the hose into the reservoir and fill that up. Very, very easy. And finally, and everybody knows, I think, if you've heard me on previous podcasts, I do have an automated fertilizer system. So the two reservoirs for the two solutions, again, are easily accessible, as well as the pump, the meter pump. So making sure and spending the time up front that that was all going to be easily accessible, I can take it in and out, look at it, etc., has made all the difference in the world for me. Because now I can do things quickly on a weekend and I'm not so hesitant. So what do you think? Do you do something similar, Yudis?
So to be honest,
The answer is no.
So in the past, I was very geeky on that part. You know, I had some fixings for the tubings, for the all the wires, so everything was fixed and neat and clean. Then I moved to my, the flat where I live now. And you believe or not, I had no planted aquarium for at least 1.5 years in this flat. So at this time, I only had customer tanks, and because it was a time I was giving like workshops every week, I was driving a lot, and I really was in my comfort zone at home without the aquarium. But beginning of this year, I started two tanks because I missed it. I wanted to have aquarium at home, and to be honest, the cabinets are functional. And functional, there is the CO2 bottle, there is the filter, and there is ton of wires. There is nothing else inside the cabinet, because it happened to me both of them. As I set up the aquarium, I made like a lot of photo and video documentation, and each time it was very late and I had to kind of wrap up and hurry to be finished in time to go to bed. So I kind of connected everything and just put it inside. And after this, there was no need to open the cabinet or, you know, to touch the things. And, well, I can access the filter to take it out for cleaning or something. It's no problem, but the wires, there's total mess. Everything else I have or I need for the maintenance, for example, the scissors and tweezers, I have the ADA maintenance tree, which looks like
very nice,
like a stainless steel stand where you can put all the tools on it. Looks nice.
And I'll have a picture of it in the show notes, great. Which, by the way, are escapefood.com/5. 39, the episode number.
And as well, there is a possibility to attach the fish feeder, which is made from glass, where it's the fish food inside. It was very comfortable to feed the fish this way. And also on the bottom, there is some room for fertilizer bottles. And those two tanks, one is a shrimpscape. The other one is the diorama, which I wanted to submit to IAPLC, but I missed the deadline. Both of them, I hardly use fertilizer, which means maybe two or three times a week, just a few squirts when I think about it, because both of them are just full of moss and maybe Anubias or Cryptocorynes, and I use aqua soil Amazonia or another fertilized, very nutrient-rich substrate. So there is no need to add a lot of fertilizer in them, especially the diorama is a lot of rocks and very, very little plants in it. So both of them, I don't need, like you, fertilization, automatic fertilization or something like this. And everything else to do the water change, and I have a kind of maintenance cart, I call it. It's a small cart where there are some buckets inside and some fish net and a piece of water hose. And to add the water, I do it straight from my RO system. I have a very long tubing, and it is this is very neat and, you know, like very, very clean, packed together and in the kitchen. And I have from IKEA, there is like a small basket, and the RO system sits in this basket, and it has wheels on the bottom, so I can take it out of the shelf and easily, you know, access the tubing for the water to put the fresh water inside the aquarium. So I have all my maintenance stuff kind of sourced out from the cabinets at home. So bad example. But on the other side, I have a lot of customer tanks, and they expect the cabinets to be clean, especially local fish stores, where I also have some display aquarium, because every time their customers can open the cabinet and it should always look clean. You know, it's like if in the shop, which is like a role model with a display tank, it's not clean and there is a wire mess inside the cabinet. So the customer thinks, okay, everything else in the shop might be the same. So maybe bad support or bad service or something. So in those cabinets, everything is cleaned up and is very well organized. So you see there are I have one face and I have another face.
You know, it's funny because, I mean, that's your job. That's what you do. And I think many of us do and recommend things to clients and at work that, you know, at home, we just don't do ourselves for many reasons, probably because we're working so hard and focus so much when we're out that when we get home, the last thing you want to do is kind of do the same thing. But I would say that you know, the audience, people listening are probably in the camp of your clients, but they got to do it themselves, unless they pay someone like you to do it.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So
if I can admit, so in the past, as I was not doing aquascaping for a living, so I only had my private tanks at home and no clients with the tanks. At this time, I was very, very well organized. So as I mentioned at the beginning, I had even the CO2 pipes, I had them fixed with, I don't know, there is a special attachment. You can attach them to the wall. And I had 90 degree angles from, for example, for CO2 tubing from ADA, such quick connectors. And I maybe we can attach a picture of it to show. I made pictures at this time. And I used one CO2 bottle and one regulator to support three tanks with CO2. So I had splitters and angles and connectors and small needle valves close to the external needle valves close to the aquarium. And so it was very geeky and I loved it. So I think...
I can see that. If you have pictures, send them.
Yeah. So if I had, well, if I have the time, I will do it. But right okay. now, I just don't have the time to do it, and I'm happy those tanks at home that are very easy to maintain.
Right, right. So, I guess we're not saying be OCD, right? Don't be obsessive compulsive about it. And I don't mean that as what Yuri's was doing, because I did the same thing. In fact, when I was keeping a saltwater tank, I had my PVC extremely organized, and not only did I have it organized, I didn't like the blue or the gray, so I purchased orange PVC. It looked great, but
I mean, you can spend days or weeks, you know, organizing all those yes. things. But if you love it, why not do it?
Exactly,
it's also part of the hobby, I think.
I agree 100%. That leads us to our number three. So far we've said, number one, spouse approved. Number two, ease of use means you'll likely do the maintenance. And number three, peace of mind. And the whole zen relaxing feeling that you get or you want to get from your aquarium. I remember going to a friend's house that was a good aquascaper. And this person used to do, or still does, beautiful, beautiful aquascapes that when I saw it, it was like, wow, breathtaking. Huh? You know, I feel relaxed. I was tensed. Now seeing the fish and the aquarium, it gives me this great feeling. And then I would open the cabinet. It would be this monster table thing. I couldn't see filter. The CO2 was tucked away in the back, and bottles were on the floor and tipped over, and fish food all over the place. It was dark, and it was ugly, and that just ruined it. And I would get on him saying, I can't believe you spend so much time maintaining your aquarium at this level, yet you have no problem with this mess. And his point was, hey, nobody opens up like the cabinets like you. Shut the door. So I get it. That's a good point of view. But it just doesn't fit to me. It doesn't make sense. If you're going to have such a beautiful aquarium up on top, how can it look so ugly on the bottom? You know? So it kind of ruins the whole... your peace of mind as well, because I'm sure you're smiling and then you open up the cabinet and your smile kind of goes away. So that's my point number three. Any thought there? That's kind of self-explanatory, Yudis.
Yeah, I think no need to add.
Point number four, it's just cool. Very cool. If I'm going to try and find some pictures online to show you. And sadly, when you type in these types of search queries in Google, a bunch of saltwater aquariums come up. I guess Google likes saltwater, or more saltwater people do this type of modding of their stands because they have a lot more equipment on the bottom. But man, it looks cool. And some of the Elos tanks in particular, when you open up the cabinet, the inside of the cabinet is painted a very different color. I've seen metallic orange, racing
you're sure
orange.
It's Elos? Because
I'm not sure it's Elos. It's maybe something else.
It's Green Aqua from Hungary.
Yes.
They have their, I would call it ADA-like built and okay. you know, painted cabinets.
Yes.
And I think it's Victor Lantos. Who has yes. at his private place a cabinet which is inside, you know, like neon orange.
Beautiful.
Or lime green. And okay. this is for sure something
maybe that's
what
I'm thinking
I
about.
Want to have one day.
Yeah. Okay, I'm Victor, if you're listening, send me a picture. I'll send him a note. That's beautiful, but they're in Hungary. But this is something I think anybody can do. with their cabinets. You can buy automotive spray paint, put a primer down, and then put that automotive paint on it. Not only does it make it help with the water proofing inside, which is always good, but man, it gives it this beautiful, beautiful, intense color. And if you add a light in there, as I recommend, so when I open up my door, the light comes on.
I have the same.
Little tiny LED thing, very cheap from Walmart.
I have similar, I believe also from IKEA. It is used for wardrobes, where you keep your clothes inside.
Right, so you open up the closet and it opens.
There is a sensor and the light goes on automatically.
Exactly. Here it was very cheap. And you do that with that bright color in there, man, it looks fantastic. So it's cool. It really does look cool. I'll put some pictures on there.
It just makes me notice, you know, I have such a LED light inside my cabinet, but I have a total wire mess inside. So for what do I have this light inside?
So you can see your mess better.
But the light really helps. For example, you have a timer inside your cabinet, you know, like lights go on and off automatically. And it's usually, I have a digital one and it's not backlit. So for this one, it's perfect to have light built in the cabinet.
Yep. My light is from the top down, which not only makes everything look pretty good, but also it has some uses. For example, my reservoir for my auto top off is the Tunzi system, or how do you guys in Germany say Tunzi?
Tunze.
Okay, there you go. I'll say Tunzi. It's white. It's a white bucket, but semi-clear. And so when I open up the cabinet, the light from the top shines down into that bucket, and I automatically see at what level the water is at.
Yeah, it's handy.
Yeah, it is. So it immediately tells me, oh, I need to refill. Or I'm okay. So that's point number four. Which leads me to point number five. Just pride. When you open up that cabinet and if you've done some work to it, like what we're talking about, you do get this sense of pride. You did it yourself. You organized it yourself. Everything's looking fantastic. People are going to compliment you on it. You should take pictures of it and put it on the forums. You should take pictures and send it to Yudis and myself and JJ at SkateFoo, which, by the way, you could reach all three of us using feedback@skatefoo.com. And if you have a cabinet that you've done this to, please send it to us and I'll put it into the show notes for this episode, episode 39, skatefoo.com/39. Also, I'll ask, if you got a really ugly one, I'd love to see it too. Not to laugh at you, but, you know, to give you words of encouragement, and let's see how creative people can get. So just to quickly run over what we've done. Number one, spouse approved. Very important. Number two, ease of use and maintenance, make it functional. Number three, peace of mind. It should be in keeping with your aquascape. It's a zen place, right? Number four, it's just cool. Number five, we have pride. Pride in your work, pride in what you do. It gives you a great sense, and don't underestimate that. I mean, that motivates you to keep going. So I have two more, Yudis.
Which one?
Number six, safety. Safety, folks. Let's not forget safety. When you have a bunch of wires, and I have a picture here I'll put into the show notes, all plugged into one outlet, and it's a mess. There's no drip cords set up. Any spill can really impact the electrical side. You really want to avoid the fire hazard, the electrical hazard, the CO2 tipping over hazard. Being organized and making sure everything has its own place, that you've thought about safety, you've thought about drip loops, that makes a lot of sense. If you have little ones, children, dogs. It's important to secure things in there as well. I remember when my kids were little, for a long time, the CO2 tank sat in a big old clasp that was bolted to the side of the cabinet so that they couldn't tip it over by accident. So to me, 6 is important.
And in terms of safety, even if you have a cabinet you built yourself, or you have a commercial one you brought together with a tank, you can build in a lock system. I had to do it once. There is one aquarium, which I told on one of the previous podcasts, I do maintain kind of free of charge, like Goodwill, Kinderhospiz, which is a place for very ill children. And this place, you know, the aquarium stands in a room where sometimes other children which come to visit, you know, they play there. And so they don't by accident change something, the CO2 or the filter or the electricity. I build in a small lock system. So I have a key and I can close the door, and the kids, they can't open it.
It's That's very genius. I've never thought to do that.
It's very easy. And I know some shops, local shops, they have the same, because some silly customers, they change the CO2, they blow up the CO2 and kill the fish. Because you know, the people that don't think about it, for them is trying. And trying, you know, they have to attach everything and play around and, can I regulate it? Oh, I can. Oh, look, the CO2 is bubbling.
Yeah, that's... terrible.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
And one more thing, if you have, for safety reasons, I don't know how to call it, you know, where all the plugs are put into one.
Power strip?
Yeah, the power strip. The best you can do, attach the power strip to the wall or to the roof or to the top of the cabinet, because if water leaks out of the filter or whatever, it's on the wall. It will stay dry.
Exactly.
Water and electricity is the worst thing that can happen.
Yes. No, absolutely. I don't know if I should admit how geeky I can get on these things, but my cabinet, it has a 2-inch tall, liner on the bottom, to capture water. I have sealed all the joints with silicone, painted over them with enamel so that, you know, no water gets to the actual wood piece. All of my power strips are up. Just like you said, I create the drip loop, and then they plug up because I attach it high on the cabinet on the inside. And if you really want to get geeky, a lot of times we put aquariums in a living room or in a bedroom where the GFI sockets are not. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you have GFI sockets in Germany and in Europe. They're ground fault interrupts, so you normally have them in bathrooms. So if the electrical item falls in water, it trips, and you don't get electrocuted.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually make a GFI power strip, or they sell them, I'm sure, as well. But I made mine. There's a bunch of plans online. So all of my plugs are connected to this GFI power strip, which has eight plugs. Again, for safety reasons, and it's tucked that away in the top. All of the cables are running through a cable organizer. You know, come to think of it, I guess I am a little OCD about this, but I like opening the cabinet and seeing space and everything organized and in its place. It doesn't drive me crazy then. So I think you can't overthink safety, and maybe safety should not have been 6, but higher up there, but it's definitely a concern and a focus. These crazy cabinets, you're asking for trouble. And finally, number 7, resale value. If you ever want to upgrade, and Udis, as you know, we in this hobby have a tendency to catch a sickness called the upgraditis, where we want bigger and bigger tanks. And or maybe you're moving to a different house and you need to downsize. You want to sell your aquarium so that you can recoup and be able to purchase your new one. Resale value is important. If you got a nice stand that's painted, organized, has all the shelves in there, you're going to get more money. You're going to get more money. There, people are going to think, wow, that's cool. That's exactly what I want, and I don't have to do it. So resale value, don't underestimate that. You will be, most people do end up selling their aquarium, hopefully not when they're getting out of the hobby, but when they're looking to upgrade or change. So I think that that's important too as number seven.
I agree.
So maybe we should wrap up the show with some ideas for people as to how to go about modding it, okay? But let me quickly run through the seven. Spouse approved. Ease of use means you'll do the maintenance. Peace of mind. It's just cool. Safety. Resale value. And I said pride. A little bit out of order, but those are the seven. Now, the modifications that I've done, and we've both said a few of that we've done, right? Cable management I've done. I've connected the power strips, and mine is GFI, up on the top. We've both done that. Painting the inside of the cabinet a very cool color that makes it easy to see so things pop. We've said that. I mentioned the liner that I have on the bottom and the ceiling of the joints with silicone. The shelves. You said you don't use that because you have the Amano tray. I do not have the Amano tray, so I have the shelving on my door. So when I open the doors, one side has the tools, aquascaping tools, and a towel, and the other side has all of the fertilizers that I use. It's neatly labeled. By the way, it was very easy to do from IKEA as well. We have that over here. Spice racket. And paint them the color of the inside. Worked great. What else, what other modifications have you seen, Yudis, besides those?
So what I have on those two at home, I have backlit, and I built kind of, I don't know how to call it, so it's like a basket, which is attached to the back of the aquarium, and I have some LED. I can change the color, and I have like acrylic or transparent, something milky on the background, yep. Or milky foil on the back of the tank, and I have those color LED in this basket attached to the back of the aquarium, and I have a remote on every aquarium, so I can adjust the color of the backlit of the aquarium, you know, kind of to match the mood or just play around and test out things.
That's great.
And so this is one modification I have seen quite often and which I use myself. The next one is I just started with this two aquariums I have here. And so one was custom built. The diorama aquarium is custom built, especially to match the size of this one huge piece of rock which is inside. So I had to find a cabinet that will match it, and there was no like aquarium brand which was selling this cabinet. So I had to look outside for it, and I found something at IKEA. I don't know the name of the product line, but they use it for living room cabinets, and they have the same but different size for the kids' room, and they are very, very stable. So I'm able to stand on top with my 80 or 75 kilograms, I don't know actually my weight. But I'm able to stand on top and dance, and it's that stable. So if it's that stable, it will hold a 60p tank, no problem.
Sure.
Or the slightly bigger one with the rock. So I bought those, they're very cheap. They're like 20 or 30 euro only. And nowadays, euro is almost the same than dollar.
Yes.
The exchange rate. And the good thing about those cabinets is they are not only cheap and stable, but you have a wide range of different doors you can use. They are in basic colors, they have sometimes glossy, and they have sometimes some 3D shape, and the doors are cheap as well. So if you want kind of change something, just change the look of the aquarium, have something new, you know, like a new wallpaper on your desktop, you can change the door, and it's like 20 bucks only.
And that's great. I love that idea.
And this is a quite nice idea. I tested it out. One tank is with, you know, like space gray, something like this of the color. And the other one is glossy orange, which is Elos-like. You know, Elos has a lot of nice cabinets with very colorful elements.
Yeah, they do.
So I was inspired by them to try this out because my living room, you know, all the colors is white, black, and gray. It's very cold, and I wanted something colorful. So I got
so
this.
Little pop.
Yeah, little pop. So I got this door, and I really love it. So,
beautiful.
On the next
that.
One, I will try out more because they have even more doors to play with. One more thing. At this time, it was simply not available in Germany and Europe because the previous ADA distributor doesn't import it. And it is the clear stand from ADA, which is made
yes.
from glass. And I wanted something like this for my Mini M tank.
Yes.
And I simply, it was not possible to buy it. So I decided to rebuild it myself. And so not myself, but I kind of placed order in a company which is working with the acrylic.
Yes.
And I asked them to rebuild this clear stand cabinet. And it's not cheap. It's you need a lot of acrylic. It must be very thick, and the work, it was expensive. So it cost me almost the same as to buy the original for the normal price. So this is very cool because you can look through the cabinet and it looks like the aquarium is, you know, middle of the air. It's like,
yeah, that's amazing.
It's like it's, I don't know, it's like it's flying. So in this cabinet, because you can look through, everything must be very clean. And it was very clean inside this cabinet.
Right.
And the last thing is, I think, is the garden stand from ADA as well. This episode, we do a lot of advertising for them.
Yeah, we have.
But I believe the garden stand is a design classica or design classic furniture.
It's a very classic, yeah very classic stand.
And it's a gunmetal color. It is matching all the tools in the color and the maintenance tree. And, for example, they have the solar stand, which is a nice fixture to attach, you know, to suspend the light from the top of the aquarium. And I really like the look, but then you need a nice filter and nice CO2 system as well. But if you like the tech side of the hobby, you can really show it, make it visible all the time and enjoy it every day. So, as I said previously, oh my God, I forgot it. What was it that I said I want to try or I have to do one day? You remember?
I don't.
You don't. I forgot it.
We're going to have to listen to
we have to.
Everybody, scratch back and listen to what Yudi said.
So another thing is I want to have out. It was the from Hungary, from Green Aqua, the cabinets.
Oh,
the
yes. Cabinets. Yes.
And the second thing I want to have one day is such a garden stand. I really want one. So I don't know, maybe
we can convince ADA to ship us one to test it out.
I think in 2 years when I become 30, I will make a gift myself and purchase one as long as they are available. So I really love them.
Yeah.
You know, they're
beautiful.
They are beautiful.
Just going back to your clear stand, the ADA Mist aquarium, which is glass. You did yours in acrylic. I used to do a lot of work when I was on the saltwater side, building stuff out of acrylic. I think it's a great project for somebody that wants to do it. Probably not good for a huge aquarium, but for a 30 or a 60 should be fine. Using cell cast acrylic. I thought about doing that, but never have gotten around to it. You know, you get the acrylic glue solvent and buy the sheets, and then you have to have the equipment to cut it, or you work with a company like you did. So I'm sure it's going to be, it was a tremendous success there. It should look beautiful.
I have one more thought on, you know, like building your own cabinet or buying cabinets from IKEA, for example. Folks, we can't give you a guarantee that if you use such furniture that, you know, nothing will happen. We have to mention this art, you know.
I'm the lawyer. Yes, absolutely.
How you know what I'm talking about? Do the same with my clients, because otherwise they will claim me. So, guys, you have to test it yourself. You act under your own risk, and you can check, because the most furniture, they have like a fact sheet, and they say how much kilograms you can put on top. And so you can, IKEA does, I know. You can check on the website. So they say this cabinet you can put up to 150 kilograms or I don't know how much you can put on top, and then there's no problem. So if you do this, then you are on the safe side. Or if you are not sure, you can use some metal brackets inside to, you know, make it more stable. It's also possible.
Or throw a piece of 2x4 in there to hold as well.
Yeah, yeah. So you can make it more durable or more stable when you add something, some pieces.
So basically, use at your own risk, SkateFoo or its co-hosts. Do not warranty or guarantee anything. I'll avoid the legalese after this, but it's at your own risk, guys. Be sure to test it out and feel comfortable that it absolutely can hold the weight, okay? All right. I failed to mention lighting. Lighting inside the cabinet is very important, could be very useful. It can set the mood. Very cheaply done with LED lighting.
We mentioned it before.
Yeah, we did. I just didn't re-mention it now.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
So I think that that's also important. So, you know, those are the thoughts and things that I've come across. Like I said, please check the show notes at skatefoo.com/39. You'll see pictures that Yuris and I will put up there and links if to the extent we have them.
And
we've mentioned... Go ahead.
Let's add an actions tab. So
yes.
We ask you, our listeners, to send us pictures of your cabinets. We really would like to see them, and we will use or we will show the best pictures in the show notes or add them or maybe even mention them in the next episode. So we would like to see what does your cabinet look like from the outside and from the inside. Doesn't matter. Is it clean or is it messy inside? Show it to us. Don't be shy.
Absolutely. Email it to feedback@skatefoo.com. The three of us will get it. And like I said, we'll put them in the show notes and even maybe even mention them on the following episode.
Or maybe...
So thank you.
Let's
or Facebook or wherever, right?
Or we can cure the nicest one and the ugliest one, and they will get an Ask Art t-shirt.
There we go. There you go. And... Ask Art is at askart.help. That's the new podcast that I've started, just answering your voicemail questions. And if you send me a voicemail question and I play it on the air, you get a free Ask Art t-shirt. And now those of you that will send us the best pictures will get an Ask Art t-shirt. So thank you so much for that. Yuris, why don't we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you found this episode entertaining and valuable to you. We do this for you. We want to be part of your aquascaping journey. Please let us know what you're struggling with and how we can help you. You can reach all three of us, as I've just mentioned to you, at feedback@skatefoo.com. Individually, I'm art@skatefoo.com. Yuris is js@skatefoo.com. And our friend who is missing today is jj@skatefoo.com. Lastly, if you have not already done so, please, please, please take 5 minutes out of your day. Go to iTunes and rate, review, share, and subscribe to the Scape Foo podcast. The link will be in the show notes. Again, scapefoo.com/39. This is incredibly important for us, folks, for our show to become easier to find by other aquarists, hobbyists, aquascapers. We need to work with iTunes. iTunes, unlike Google, is not very smart. The way it promotes and says, oh, this is a valuable podcast, is based on the number of subscribers through iTunes, the number of rates, you know, the little stars that we've gotten, and the number of reviews, and then the number of shares. If you click there, you click, when you're there, you click on a little down arrow that they have there next to subscribe. It allows you to share it on Facebook or Twitter, and then it counts that as a share. And then it adds all of that up in their little mysterious algorithm, and that determines whether or not they're going to show you when somebody types in aquarium or aquascaping, for example. I just put up a post on scapefoo.com. You can go over there and see it. It's called How to Subscribe to the Scape Foo Podcast. I'll have it in the show notes, a link to it. It's a video walking you through the process. And I use as an example the Ask Art podcast. And I typed in there, Ask Art. And this is a new one, so it hasn't gotten any ratings or any reviews yet. But iTunes, because it doesn't have these things it's looking for, threw me in with a bunch of other things that had nothing to do with Ask Art. In fact, even Ask Art was not even in their title. So we really need your help. If you enjoy what we do here, we don't charge for it. We love doing it. We love bringing it to you. But help us out by spreading the word. And the best way to do that is going to iTunes just one time and doing what we said, which is subscribe, rate, review, and share. Okay? Yudis, that's it. Have a wonderful week. Everybody have a wonderful week. And we'll be back next week with another Scape Foo podcast.
That's great. Take care, Art.
Thank you for listening to the Scape Foo podcast, where it's all about learning to make aquariums beautiful.